Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
You're listening to Talking Heads, Manx Radio, with today, tomorrow, Monday, myself, Bob Harrison. This hour of the programme, we're continuing our coverage in the build-up to this month's House of Keys general election, with the first of three interviews for the selection of 2016 candidates. We're joined now by 27-year-old Carlos Phillips, who will be standing in the newly merged constituency of Ayr and Michael. Good afternoon, Carlos, and welcome to our studios.
Hello, it's good to be here.
Thanks for popping in. I suppose we ought to start with a sort of a suitably bland interview. What do you want to do? Why do you want to get into politics?
I suppose you could say I've got the head for policy and legislation. I've worked at the heart of government. I've got a law degree. I've got that background. I've worked in the European Union for a bit. I've got the heart for the parishes, the villages and the hamlets in the north. Mm-hmm. I'm born and bred in the north. My roots run deep there. And I've got the stomach for the challenges ahead. And there will be quite a few challenges to come.
Okay. Explain the European connection then.
I did a master's course over in the College of Europe, doing economics, law and politics. After that, I worked in the office of the President of the European Union for a while, which was incredible. And then coming back to the island, I worked for the External Relations team at the Cabinet Office, promoting and defending the island's reputation.
As far as Brexit is concerned, how much, as far as you are concerned, has the sort of Europe altered in its reflections?
I think we have to accept the Brexit decision and move on from that, really. There will be opportunities with emerging trading countries, but there also will be challenges for the island as well, in terms of getting the best deal possible. And with my experience, I hope to contribute towards that, if given the chance.
Would you have agreed with Brexit? If you had had a vote, would you have voted?
I would have voted. With reform, I think there would have been scope for remaining. But I respect the decision of the people. That's democracy, and we move on. And we can look forward to a brighter future with the right attitude and the right approach.
Unfortunately, we appear to be in sort of like a phony war. Just before World War II started, there was like a phony war. And we seem to be having problems like that at present with Brexit. Theresa May hasn't made a mind up whether we're in, whether we're out. And that period seems to be extending and extending. As far as you're concerned, should there be a decision now, next year, year after, to actually say that we want to leave, or UK want to leave the EU?
These are complex negotiations. I think at all times we must make sure that the island is not forgotten, and certainly work is going on and should continue in the next administration to try and deliver on that and to score the best deal for all. The decision will be taken when time is right, and we can respond to that in the right way.
Okay, and then once the decision is made, presumably government over here has got to start influencing.
Absolutely, and the work has begun, but it needs to continue. And with the loss of 120 years of experience in the current house, I think Tim Wolf needs European experience to some extent. But it's not the only reason I'm running. I mean, I like the north. I'm from the north. My roots run deep there. And whilst we talk about international issues, we mustn't forget the local issues as well. The pavements, all the local things as well. They both matter.
So in your mind, what are the local issues?
Farmers, farming as well. I'm thinking farmers have been telling me on the doorstep they like to incentivise food production to grow a dynamic and vibrant food and drink sector. And those sorts of issues which matter to the people of Ayr and Michael, because it is a very constituency. People work in finance in the villages of Kirkmichael and Balaff, for example. They commute into Douglas, and you've got real northern farming families with vast tracts of land that are really focused on those sort of issues as well.
People will say you never see a poor farmer. Are you aware of that?
I think farming is hard work. My grandfather was a farmer, albeit not on the island. But you do have an appreciation for the backbreaking hard work that goes into that. And it's also about securing food security and self-sustainability for the island as well.
As far as the other things are concerned that you would like to change, should the people from Ayr and Michael elect you? You said there are lots of things the island needs to sort out. What would be your priorities other than the farmers?
I think we mustn't look inward. We must always remain looking outward. there are several issues on the horizon in terms of the island's reputation. These are hostile times for international finance centres, and we must respond to that appropriately and be aware of it. I think the reason why I've done this really is because sometimes you have to be the change that you want to see. And I'm an optimistic young banksman. I've come back. I want to give 5 of my best years to this role. I'm not in it for 30 years. I'm in it to make a difference, to do my part and move on. I think, you know, we do need to, we need a bit of change. There's nothing wrong with change. Hope over fear and change over more of the same.
As far as experience is concerned, there are quite a few high-profile politicians leaving the administration.
Yes.
Do you think it will be good for the administration if youngsters come in like yourself, if I can class a 27-year-old as a youngster?
Well, that's all right. I do think that we need a fresh start, and this gives us an opportunity to do so. In the recent Lord Lisvain report, he talked about gender balance and how Timwell should reflect the society it serves. I think gender balance is important, but so is the age demographic. And the decisions that we're taking are strategic, and they're going to last far into the future. They'll affect my generation, and they'll affect people after me. So it's only right that we should try and encourage more younger people to make their contribution, and I think it will enrich Timwell debates.
Do you think there is enough experience? If indeed we sort of get a whole layer of young people,
not
there will be enough experience?
Not necessarily a layer, but it's about having diversity, having different voices, enriching the debates. I think I respect maturity and experience, but I also yearn for a new perspective, for a bit of modernity, some progressive politics as well. And I think a combination of the both offers the best solution for the island.
One of the problems that will happen is the fact that some of the more older generation politicians will drop out, but the civil servants will remain the same. Is there a way that you hope, as a newly elected MHK, that you can influence anything there?
I certainly, if you come to politics with the right attitude and you make your views known and you be constructive, you can achieve change. I think the Isle of Man system is about working together, negotiating, consensus, and I believe I've got the disposition for that. And we can achieve results if we work together. And with this new constituency, there'll be 2 MHKs, a stronger voice for the North, and Kirkmichael, Balaff, Bride, Andreas, all of the area. Together as a team, you can achieve results.
OK, you've already mentioned North, the farmers. How else would you like to influence the North if you get elected?
To give it a strong voice, a distinct voice. And by having a younger representative, you already put the North on the map. And it's about working together with the other representative to drive forward those change and those reforms that are needed and will come.
But what about bringing industry to the North?
Oh, absolutely. If we look at existing schemes that the Department of Economic Development have in terms of financial assistance programs for relocation, I'd look to review why more has not been taken up on that. Why haven't more businesses moved out of Douglas in the East? We have Jerby Industrial Estate. We have vacant commercial properties in the North. And certainly we can look to incentivise moves further north. Why not? Make the jobs on the doorstep.
And presumably bring more tourism north.
Absolutely. There are varied tourism businesses in the north. Everything from clay pigeon shooting, cookery schools, outdoor experiences, stay on a farm, bed and breakfasts. All these things contribute to the island's diverse destination offering.
As far as one of the issues that I noticed in reading some notes about you, you've made a resolve to visit every business in
yes.
the North if you get elected.
Yes.
How can you achieve that?
It isn't that hard an undertaking to visit your local shops, the bed and breakfasts, the farms. I mean, It's not impossible to do that annually, to keep that dialogue open and to remain committed to keeping that conversation going throughout the whole 5 years is something that I believe in and I would do, genuinely.
When you go, have you started door stopping?
Yes, I've started, but okay. As you can appreciate, it is a large area and...
You got a bike?
Absolutely. A very keen cyclist.
Okay, as far as when you go on the doorsteps and you knock on people's doors, what is the first question they generally ask you?
Well, I think they're refreshed to see a younger face, a new voice, some new ideas. But what they are asking is, how would you contribute to securing the island's economy, because as we all know, growing the economy will sustain those vital public services that we all know and love and want to keep. I mean, nobody likes to suffer in ways when they don't see services that they want. So we must grow that economy. It is a primary focus on the doorsteps.
What about the more elderly of the voters? What's their concerns?
I think we need to champion an attitude of respect towards the elderly. And when people talk about the elderly as though they're a problem, I think they're wrong. I think we need to recognise their contribution. I support easy access, not easy access, I support the, restarting the conversation. Perhaps we need an older people's champion or a voice or a person to try and address the problem and the older demographic positively, not negatively.
And are you reassured by the pensions problem? Because that is a big sword of Damocles, which is hanging over the next government, isn't it?
Certainly pensions are an issue.
Can it be resolved?
Yes, I think it can be resolved. I think the main issue is that we should try and secure fairness across the generations. I mean, the least we can do is pass on assets, not liabilities. I think when you've worked your entire life, you do want security in your retirement. But people understand that we have to deliver future pensioners as well as the current ones. And it's about retaining that balance and addressing it positively.
So is it sort of draw a line underneath the present pensions policy and start with a new one?
Not at all. It's about building on the progress that's been made and continuing that conversation and trying to adopt data-driven solutions, really. I'll be guided by independently verifiable data, really, and taking pragmatic decisions, listening to the people of Erin Michael at all times.
As far as the North is concerned, it features an awful lot, that word, in your prospectus.
Yes.
As far as when you are elected, do you not feel that you're there to represent the island?
Absolutely. And with my background in the external relations team, every day, day in, day out, thinking about the island, how it's received in the United Kingdom, in the British Irish Council, in the OECD, the United Nations, I've done some representing the island in my career to date. And it's fascinating, it's an honour, it's a privilege, and it's something I'd like to contribute and do if given the opportunity.
OK, so focusing on away from the North,
yes.
What is the concern of Carlos on the island as far as, you know, horse trams, the prom, etc.?
I think we should try and build the island's reputation as a strong, stable jurisdiction. In times like these, there is instability, and business craves stability, and we have, those are our assets. Our quality of life, our stability of the political system. These are pluses, and we can really grow our economy through that. I'm conscious to make a balance between local issues and international issues, because as the outgoing Chief Minister has said, the international climate is challenging, and we will need to not ignore that, but really tackle it head on.
I think everything is challenging. Are you prepared to accept the challenge?
Absolutely. I mean, as I said, I'd give 5 of my best years to this. I'd be full-time going at it, 100%. I wouldn't have done this if I didn't think I could do it.
Do you foresee yourself beyond 5 years?
At the present time, I'm not seeing myself beyond a polling day. But it will be an immense privilege if given the opportunity. I know I have something to give. If people read my manifesto, look at my website at carlos.im, look at the videos, look at the effort I've put in to date, and can see my resolve and commitment. Yes, I'm new to politics, but it's something that you take to, and with the right heart for service. I mean, I believe that being an MHK is a public service. It's not a career path. I don't need this as a career, believe me. I could do without the stress. But I believe I can bring about some change, you know, and people do want a fresh face. And I think I've got something to offer.
Why should people trust a 27-year-old?
I think, well, why not? I would respond to that, really.
Okay.
I mean, I don't believe in age discrimination, no matter what the age. So if someone has the right background, experience, the education, I mean, I believe in giving back. The island's given me so much. It's given me all my opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I come from a modest income family. My parents run a cafe, the Lazare Tea Rooms. They'd never have been able to afford it to send me to university and onto Europe and the president's office. No way, not without the generosity of the island.
Mm-hmm.
And having had that, and I'm very grateful for it, the least I can do is try and offer myself back, give something back.
After that then, when you came back to the island, did you think this was a way of adding something back to the island after your education and your experience in Europe, that you were coming back to help the island?
Absolutely. I love the island. I'm born and bred here. I love it. All my friends are here. It's hot. I love the community aspect. You can walk down to the local post office. You see 10 people. They'll all say hello to you. You don't get that on the streets of Brussels, on the streets of London, wherever I've gone to university, wherever other people have gone. You know it's special. And you want to preserve that quality of life. And that's something I'm really passionate about, regardless of my age.
If you are elected, you know very well that the conversations will be a little bit longer as you walk down to the post office.
Absolutely. I'm under no illusions.
Will you be holding surgeries, regular surgeries up north?
Absolutely. Regular surgeries. I mean, as people can see from the effort I've placed with social media, with that website, carlos.im, I'm all about openness, transparency. I'd like to begin that conversation, as I say, for the full 5 years, not just knocking on people's doors for their vote and then leaving them until the next election, but maintaining that, keeping that dialogue, that discussion.
Do you think social media is a good thing as far as government is concerned?
I do. I think to ignore it, to shut it down, would be regressive. It is the modern world. We need to engage with people. Everyone's got a phone in their pocket now. You only need to do a few taps of that, and you could be talking, watching videos. They're far more than just phones, they're mini computers. And so I do believe it's got a positive role to play, social media.
And you will then bring government to the people who voted for, well, and possibly to the people who didn't vote for you, if you manage to achieve getting in at Eyre and Michael.
I really would. I do, like I say, believe in openness and maintaining that conversation. I mean, social media can have their, you can have a rough time on it. I mean, as we all know, some politicians have received a terrible time of it lately.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to take the good with the bad. I mean, part of being open is not being afraid to take criticism and to listen to that, not to ignore it.
Okay. You mentioned a traveller. You backwards and forwards to Europe. What about the transport problems on and off our island? How are you going to resolve that?
Well, there's an important point. You make an important point there. I mean, we need secure, viable transport routes. They are really lifelines. For example, if you think about the flights and the airport, I think the London City route is a prime example of something that we'll have to look to maintain. And if there is a robust business case, trying to increase perhaps our support for that, because that's a key line, a key route for business and for the economy. And with, of course, with the Ben, with the ships, we need to certainly look carefully at the sea services user agreement and ensure there's a minimum standard of service which is acceptable to everybody. But also recognising that the size of the island means that we have to look at that sort of model and assess what's best for our circumstances.
The open air policy is working as far as Carlos is concerned?
That's a big question. I think, as I've said before, I'll be trusted and guided by the data. It needs to regularly evidence its effectiveness to warrant its continuation. I mean, some people have said to me on the doorstep that they don't agree with it and they think it's actually not serving the island. I'm open to listening to that and to building on that opinion and feeding that back on the floor of Tumult if given the opportunity.
As far as your prospectus, which I've had a chance to read, or your draft prospectus, which I've had a chance to read, you mention, as far as the aircraft is concerned, we require a minimum standard of service. I would have thought that the Manx public require a maximum standard of service.
Oh, quite. I mean, when I say minimum standard of service, I imply that a minimum acceptable standard of service, if you see what I mean.
Uh-huh.
I think we need these guaranteed lifeline routes. It could be for flights to the hospital across the northwest. It could be for essential family business links. They're all equally viable, and we must look to achieve the best possible deal that we can.
But that probably would mean giving the people who run the airport more teeth, because we hear on a regular basis about flights being delayed, flights being cancelled even.
Well, that's something we'll have to look at, certainly, yeah. Absolutely. All these issues, I mean, can you imagine the new Tumult's going to have a very, very full inbox, a big in tray. I mean, to be an expert in all these areas is quite a challenge. Certainly I've done my homework and I'll continue to do so. But, I mean, this will require the new house to really take forward consideration of these things very seriously and to get up to speed very quickly. I mean, I'm sure there'll be an induction programme, an introduction to Tumult, but can you imagine how big the That will be quite a challenge.
I think the problem is we seem to have had a bit of malaise in government in the year prior to the election, because nobody wants to seem to take decisions which will be affected by the election. And you are then presumably going to take a little bit of time, as you said, to get up to speed. So, OK, September 22 is the election. When would you hope to start making a difference to government?
I think you'd make a difference from day one by standing up for what you believe in, by speaking up, by not shirking. There are difficult decisions to be made, and they have to be made, as you say. Perhaps it might be said that some decisions may not have been taken in the run-up to the general election, but certainly we do need to engage fully and not navel-gaze. Think about the big issues, and not necessarily criticise for criticism's sake, but to adopt a T-mile of man approach. I believe a consensus and working together to achieve the best outcome for the island. You wouldn't try and do this job, unless you wanted the best for the island.
As far as the Chief Minister is concerned, do you have any sort of choices how you think he ought to be elected?
The leader of any government should ideally be elected by the people. Obviously, that's a starting point.
But can that happen?
The Isle of Man is a Crown dependency, as we all know. And in all three Crown dependencies, the Chief Minister is indirectly elected. And that's our constitutional settlement at the moment. Whether that might change in the future is open to the next House. That's another debate to have, really. But like I've said before, I mean, business requires stability, and so does the island. We've got challenges from day one, and too much internal reform at the sake of addressing the bigger issues would be damaging, I think. We need to move on and get on with the job.
Is this going to be a sort of vocal Carlos Phillips when we get to hearing the debates in Tynwald? Are you going to be sort of behind the scenes, or are you going to be quite vocal?
I'll definitely be vocal. I'll put myself forward. People who know me might say I'm not naturally outgoing, but certainly this process has brought me out of the shadows, as it were. And I think I'd have to be. You need sharp elbows to do this role. And I can tell you, mine are a lot sharper than when I first started.
What have you learnt in, I don't know, since you sort of announced that you were going to stand and this present day?
Yes.
What lessons have you learnt?
Well, those that don't like government won't. Well, they have very firm opinions, shall we say. But I think you've got those that really want to see change and progress and a new take on it and are looking forward to a new administration and the next 5 years. But you've got to mix that feeling of optimism with a dose of reality in that things won't change overnight, but they can change with a new approach.
Given a fairy godmother approach, what is one thing that you would like to change? I'm your fairy godmother. I allow you one spell and you can change one thing immediately. September the 23rd, it can be changed. What would be Carlos's view on that?
Oof, it's a big one. I think I'd... Part of the reason why I'm doing this is to try and rebuild that trust and that connection in politics. Trust in politics is at record lows. And if someone like me, who wouldn't normally do this, can come forward and try and restart that conversation, that engagement, then that can only be a good thing. I mean, Tynwald being one of the oldest parliamentary democracies in the world, I mean, it's incredible. We should be so proud of that. I mean, 16-year-olds had the opportunity to vote here far more quicker than in other areas, as you know. And if I can engage with the youth as well, or even encourage further candidates in the future, that'd be brilliant. I think if I could give one thing, it would be try and start that trust being rebuilt, which may have been eroded.
Hasn't trust got to follow on openness of government? Sometimes I think the electorate think that government is a little bit closed in.
Absolutely. That's why I support initiatives like the continued rollout of the Freedom of Information Act, which is coming, which will be rolled out across government during the next administration. Already it's had its pilot phase. So things like that have my wholehearted support. And openness, transparency, they'll be the hallmarks of that new relationship.
45 seconds to tell me why I should vote for Carlos Phillips if I had a vote in Aaron Michael.
Oh, you should vote for me because I am a bold, bright, fresh new voice, because I would be completely honoured, privileged, humbled by this opportunity. And yes, if you do believe that we need a new start, if you believe in it, vote for it.
Good man. The prospective candidate for Eyre and Michael, Carlos Phillips, has been joining me in the studio today. Thanks so much for joining us, Carlos. All success.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.